If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, from your heart, silently right now, would you say to the Lord, from your heart, would you say, Lord, would you please speak to my heart today through the message? Speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
You know, as we celebrate the 247th birthday of America, I have a question for you. Do you think that America will be around for another 247 years? That is, if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back first. I think probably most of us would say, no way. The way we're going right now, no way we're going to be around for another 247 years. Or at best, we'd say something like, it does not look good. I contend this morning that a big part, even the primary reason that America is heading in the wrong direction, is because in general, our churches are heading in the wrong direction. And most Christians have lost their commitment to the Lord. Most Christians, I believe, have lost their commitment to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that they've lost their salvation, because I don't believe you can lose your salvation. If you're truly, truly born again, you are saved, you are sealed, and you will not lose your salvation. It's called eternal security. Some call it security of the believer. That's not what I'm talking about. But I really think a lot of Christians today, I'm not speaking just of Oak Mound, I'm not speaking just of churches that I'm familiar with, I believe all across our country, a lot of Christians have lost their commitment to the Lord, their devotion to the Lord. You know, it's amazing to me how much time and effort we can put in so many things that's going to last no longer than this life. But yet that which is eternal, we have very little commitment to. And I believe that if America is going to be great again, it's going to be because our churches are great again. And because our Christians have gained back their true commitment to the Lord. Today, the message, A Time to Recommit. A time to recommit. Now, this doesn't happen very much, but I had pretty much set in my mind what I was going to preach. I get up really early on Sunday mornings, and I got up, and almost immediately after I got ready, God impressed upon my heart that this was the message for today. So I had to change what I was going to preach to what I'm preaching now. So if it's not, if you say, man, that was the worst sermon I ever heard, just keep in mind it just happened this morning, okay? But by God doing that, I really think it's kind of like God is tapping us on the shoulder. I mean, it's good to be prepared. It's good to know exactly what you're going to preach. But when you have those moments that God kind of knocks on your heart and says, no, I don't want you to preach that. This morning, I want you to preach this. I just believe that's God. So I think God may want to invade our service a little bit today and speak to our hearts in this area of recommitment to the Lord. Recommitment to the Lord. The message this morning is taken out of Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24, verses 1 to 28. We're going to read several verses, and I'm going to ask you to do something that I don't typically ask you to do. Some preachers have you do it all the time, But out of respect for the Word of God and to kind of get the context of what we're talking about, I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand as we read this passage of Scripture today. Joshua chapter 24, we're going to be reading verses 1 to 28. And I really think that as this situation, this story came down, as it happened, as it occurred, I believe there were a lot of people standing. And you're going to see that here in just a moment. So there's really a double reason to have you stand. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land, and I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he have done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. You may be seated. This is a wonderful story. I don't know if you've really heard this recently. I know that you probably heard certain verses. I'm not sure if I've ever preached the whole chapter before. Normally we zero in on certain parts of this chapter. But today, as we look at a time to recommit, first of all, point number one, I want you to look at the setting. The setting. What's going on in this passage of Scripture? We find it in verse 1. Excuse me. It says in verse 1, Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Joshua. Do you realize that Joshua has been a great leader of the children of Israel? Remember when the spies went and spied out the land under Moses? The only two that came back and said we can take it was Joshua and Caleb. That's why they were allowed to come into the promised land now. And remember, Joshua took over after Moses. Wouldn't that be a daunting task to take over after a great leader like Moses? But he remained faithful to the Lord. And now he's nearing the end of his life. And he calls together all these people of the nation of Israel, of the children of Israel, and says, now listen, don't you think a man in his last major address to the people after having led them these number of years, don't you think it would be noteworthy to pay attention to what he says? The person, Joshua's farewell address. It says in verse 29 of this same chapter, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. So the person was Joshua. The place was a place called Shechem. Now, I found this in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Listen to this. Listen to some of the stuff that happened in this area called Shechem. It says, the geographical setting is of interest. Shechem, a few miles northwest of Shiloh, was where Abraham first received the promise that God would give his seed the land of Canaan. Abraham responded by building an altar to demonstrate his faith in the one true God. That's found in Genesis 12, verses 6 and 7. Jacob, too, stopped at Shechem on his return from Padan Aram and buried there the idols his family had brought with them. Genesis 35 and verse 4. After the Israelites completed the first phase of the conquest of Canaan, they journeyed to Shechem where Joshua built an altar to Yahweh, inscribed the law of God on stone pillars, and reviewed these laws for all the people. That's found in Joshua 8, verses 30 to 35. Joshua had good reason, therefore, to convene the Israelites at this location. Certainly the stones on which the law had been written were still standing, vivid reminders of that significant event. From this moment on, that beautiful valley between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim would be associated with this poignant farewell scene as their honored leader spoke to them for the last time. See, a lot happened in Shechem. The children of Israel had a lot of memories about where they were that day as Joshua, the leader about to fade off the scene, was preaching to them and teaching them and challenging them in their walk with God in this place that they had all these memories. The person was Joshua. The place was Shechem. The purpose. What is the purpose of this? Now, from what I understand, it was customary for covenants to be renewed among peoples. And before he fades off the scene, Joshua is trying to make sure that the children of Israel get it, that they renew this commitment, this covenant to the Lord. The setting, the person Joshua, the place Shechem, the purpose to renew their covenant with God. You know, today I see some similarities here today. You know what? The speaker's me, and I'm not Joshua, believe me. I'm not Joshua in any way, shape, or form. But as a preacher of the gospel, I'm the messenger today. God has given me the message to speak to you, and you're at a place called Oak Mound Evangelical Church. A lot of y'all have a lot of good memories here, don't you? A lot of you might have been saved here at this church. A lot of you have responded up to these altars, and you remember those decisions that you made before God, just like the children of Israel here at Shechem saying, I remember this place. I remember what God has done. I remember my decision to serve the Lord. And what does God want us to do today? I believe God wants us to renew our relationship with Him. I really do. That's the purpose. The setting, number one. Number two, in verses 2 to 13, we see what God has done. What God has done. You know, as a people, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but if you'll find throughout this, the pronoun that's used is I. And you know who's talking to them? God is. Through Joshua. He said, now look at all of these things that I have done for you, children of Israel. He recounts the history of the nation of Israel, the things that they had gone through, and how God each time, I believe something I read said, I didn't count, but there's like 14 times he says, I. He reminds them of what God has done. Can I remind you of what God has done for you? I mean, my goodness, this is a message to the saved really today. So if you're here today and you're saved, guess what God has done for you? He saved your soul. You know, I don't see anybody here that doesn't have decent clothes on. I don't see any holes in any of your clothes. Now, maybe there's a hole in your sock you wouldn't admit to, perhaps. You know, it's okay to wear a hole with a sock with a hole in as long as it's not showing, right? But I look around, I see people that God has provided for. You know, most of us have way more than we even need. So God has saved you. God's provided for you. He's allowed you to be born. Here, America's birthday, He's allowed you to be born in America. Wow. The very poorest of Americans is still richer than many in the third world countries. I think it's a blessing God has blessed you with. It allowed you, many of you, to be born in West Virginia. Amen. You know, I'm happy to be born in West Virginia. I'm glad in southern West Virginia. I joke with the boys about, I'll say this quite often, I was born on a bridge down in southern West Virginia. Golly Bridge. Actually, not on a bridge, but there is a little community in Fayette County. So I joke and say, I was born on a bridge. But I'm glad to be born in West Virginia. That's something God did for me. You know, God, if you are a born-again Christian, God has given you a reason to live. You know, a lot of people, you know, suicide is way up. I've not specifically looked at the numbers, but I've heard enough that suicide rates are way up. People say that I have no reason to live. If you're a child of God, you got a reason to live. To serve the Lord and to spread the word. You know what? God has given to you peace in your heart and in your life. God has given to you purpose. God has given to you joy. You know, God has provided so much for every child of God. We need to be reminded of that sometimes, don't you think? When we trust to the Lord, you know what else? He's given you a constant friend. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know who that is? Jesus. Jesus is with us. Every step of the way, you can never be alone. You can never hide from God. It can't get too bad that you can't say, you know what? I thank the Lord that Jesus is still with me. Amen. We got the indwelling Holy Spirit. We got the Word of God, the very words of God right before us. You know, God has given most of us families. He's given us a church that preaches the gospel. He's given us way more material things than we need. And He has given us a wonderful future in heaven. Isn't that good? I mean, I'm really tickled that this world is not my eternal home. Paul put it pretty well. He said, if this is all there is, we'd be of all men most miserable, right? But God's done a lot. What has God done? God has done so much for the child of God. Question is, are you thinking about all that God has done for you? Do you focus on all that God has done for you? A time to recommit. First of all, the setting. Second, what God has done. And if we stop for just a moment, we would be overwhelmed with all the things that God has done for us. In fact, the Bible says that every good gift, Every good thing we have, any good thing we can think of in our life, all comes from God. Point number three today, a challenge to recommit themselves to God. A challenge to these children of Israel to recommit themselves, their lives, to God. Joshua says in verses 14 and 15, this is where I stand. You've heard this before. It says in verse 14, after recounting all that God has done, after the setting there of all this happened here in Shechem and all the things that God has spoken to our heart here at Shechem, and Joshua is about ready to fade off the scene, then he says, listen, this is what I really want to tell you. He says, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Folks, we need Christians today that say, you know what, I'm going to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. You know, it doesn't matter what the world does. It doesn't matter. Bruce Viola. All right, I might just speak up. All right. I can't stand back there. I got to move. It doesn't matter what other church members do. I need to serve the Lord. I need to be faithful. He says, I want you to serve Him in sincerity and truth. Not just an external show and say, here I am. I really think a lot of people got it all messed up in their mind. They think that coming to church is like punching a heavenly time clock. I got to punch a heavenly... Boy, it's so much different than that. That's not what we're doing. We're serving the God of the universe because of all the things He's done for us and all the things that He asked us to do for Him. That's why I come to church. I come to church to worship the God of the universe. I come to church to learn more about the Bible. I come to church to draw closer to Him. I come to church to be encouraged and to encourage other people. You know what He says? He says, you need to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. You know, it needs to be real to you. It needs to be real. You know, we live our lives, many Christians live our lives as this, we're going to be here forever. We're not. We should be living our life. The Bible says we're only going to be here for a vapor. Just as long as a vapor is here. And you know how long a vapor is. We got it all backwards. We're going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord. And in the meantime, we ought to live like it. Sincerity and truth. Put away the God which your father served. We live in a society that... Oh well, I don't have a little tiny statue in my on my fireplace or anything, so I don't get this. Do you understand that little G God and idols are anything we put ahead of God? I mean, my goodness gracious! Look around at how many gods and idols there are in our society today. And Joshua tells these people. Way back, he says, guess what? You need to put those gods away and serve God in sincerity and in truth. Serve the Lord, it says. In verse 15, he pretty much nails it down. We put it on plaques, we put it on our wall, we put it outside our door. This little expression that he says, He basically says, you know, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Now, hey, if you think that's wrong, that's your own problem. But he says, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. If you're going to serve the little g gods of this world, just make up your mind you're going to serve the little g gods and let that be that. I wouldn't recommend that. It says, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But here it is. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Man, now we use this in family. I tell you what, I think I'm on now, right? I'm still not on. I'm on. It doesn't matter. You can hear me. Hopefully people on that mic can hear me too. Guess what? What we need today are family leaders that stand up and say, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I don't care what it's going to cost me. I don't care how that makes me different. I don't care anything. I'm just going to serve the Lord, end of story, period.
Amen.
Man, let's rise to the occasion. We're called to be leaders in the home. Let's rise up and lead, okay?
Amen.
Women of God, follow your leader, okay, that God has placed in your life. You say, but if you only knew how bad of a leader he was, that's okay. He's a work in progress, right? But we need people to say, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. End of story. Man, so many people today, tell you what, they've forgotten that commitment. Really, they have. I know it's working now. I hear it scratching, don't you? Thank you for working out up there, sound people.
You did good.
All right. But it says, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And then listen to what the people say. You got to follow real close here, okay? It says, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord in verse 16 to serve other gods. God forbid. And it says, and then it talks about how the Lord delivered them and their fathers out of Egypt from the house of bondage, and he did great signs. He preserved us among all the people through whom we passed. Lord drove out those people and the Amorites that dwelt in the land. We will serve the Lord, for he is our God. That's a good answer, isn't it? But you know what? I really think Joshua was like, whoa, really? Because he responds. I don't know if he expected all these people to stand up. I think he was wondering, is this real? Because we're going to look at his words here in just a moment. You know, sometimes on the outside, can I tell you that we as Christians at church can sound so spiritual? I mean, because we've been in church, we know the answers, right? And when someone says, well, who did this in the Bible? I know that. What should we do? Oh, we should pray. We should read the Bible. We should go to church. We should tithe and we should witness. We got the five to thrive down pat. We know we're supposed to do that. But you know what? Are we doing it? And I think the people is, oh, yes, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua, listen to how he responds to that. Verse 19, Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he's an holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he'll turn and do you hurt and consume you after he had done you good. And I think he kind of stepped back and said, whoa, you're making this commitment to the Lord. It's real. Are you sure? Because if not, our God's a holy God. And you're in trouble if you're just trying to sound spiritual. Joshua makes it clear. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. People say, we're going to commit to the Lord, absolutely. Joshua basically says, is it real? Do you really mean it? Verse 21 and 22, they continue to say, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord. People said unto Joshua, nay, but we'll serve the Lord. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. A challenge to recommit themselves. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's good and healthy for a Christian every once in a while to recommit their heart and life to the Lord? Do you think it's healthy for a Christian sometime in their life along the way, and ever so often along the way, to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to recommit my life to you? The question I have, are you hearing God's challenge right now? Are you hearing God's challenge right now to say, you know what, you really need to recommit your life? You know, if you can think of a time that you serve God better and closer than you are right now, it's time to recommit. You know, God didn't change. If anything changed, it was us, right? We backed up from God a little bit and said, it's okay. I'm in the average. It's all right. I read my Bible probably about as much as anybody. I pray about as much. I come to church probably about like everybody. Sunday morning, that's good. I'm good. I'm right in there. But can I tell you, folks, I don't know what it's going to take. It's time for us to recommit to the Lord. It's time for us to turn it up a notch, not turn it down a notch. It's time for us to say, Lord, I'm going to serve you no matter what. You know, the next sound we might hear is the trumpet. And right after we go home to be with the Lord, there is the judgment seat of Christ. And you know, when I'm standing there, I don't know, Lord, I just didn't have. God says, why didn't you serve me? Why didn't you give me first place? Why didn't you commit yourself to me? Oh, I was just so busy. I told you this, if I hear one more person tell me how busy they are, I think I'm going to get sick. Seriously, we're all busy. We all have 24 hours a day. How come some can fit God in and some people can't? It's time to recommit ourselves to God. The children of Israel said, now hopefully I'm not like Joshua, this isn't my last sermon and I'm going to die in the next few minutes, but if so, I'm ready to meet Jesus. But can I tell you, man, it's time. We got to get serious about this Christian thing. We got to get serious about our commitment to God. We got to get serious about our lost friends and relatives that don't know Jesus. We got to get serious about it. There's one thing among Christian people that I don't see. It's seriousness. And there's always a few. God bless you. We have a few. We have a few on Wednesday night. We have a few on Sunday night. We have a few here or there. But you know what? I don't see a whole lot of people saying, you know what, I am serious, I am sold out, I am committed to God, and I'll do whatever He asks me to do. We're too enamored with the things of this world. We're too preoccupied doing all the things, and the devil and the world will provide you 1,000 things to do other than serve Jesus. And we've fallen right into it. We've fallen right into it. And I guarantee you, if you're sitting there right now and say, preacher, I just can't wait for this sermon to get over. I'd never tell that to your face, but that's what's in my heart and mind right now. Get right with God. Serious, get right with God. You're not mad at the preacher, you're mad at God. And God is saying today, when He gave me the message this morning, guess what He wants me to proclaim to you? It's time to recommit to the Lord. I mean, my goodness. You know, we got a church that'll seat 500. What an opportunity we have. I know churches that are busting at the seams. And they're not necessarily around here, but I know some churches in North Carolina that are booming and they got people and they're thinking about what we're going to do. God has given us the opportunity. Look at the facilities we have. But until we get serious and committed about the Lord and say, I'll do whatever you want me to do, I guarantee you these seats aren't going to be full. And I guarantee you that we're not going to see revival in our church. And I guarantee you we're not going to see revival in our community. And I'll guarantee you we're not going to see revival in our country. Until we as God's people say, you know what? I better get serious about this God thing. I better get serious about serving the Lord. I better be committed to Him. And I tell you one more time. You say, preacher, you're all riled up. That's all right. I think it's the Holy Spirit's all riled up. Let me tell you, if you're there today and you think,
Preacher, just move on. Come on, you're getting too excited and everything. You know, you tick me off a little bit, preacher, when you said this, that. You know I'm busy. You know I got all this stuff. You know, I'm telling you, get right with God. Because someday you're going to answer to somebody. You're not going to answer to me, but you're going to answer to the God of this universe. And I want to be able to stand there and say, you know what, Lord, I wasn't perfect. I failed you many times, but I was serious about you. I tried to put you first. I tell you, it's time. It's time. A time to recommit. We looked at the setting. We looked at what God has done. Third, a challenge to recommit themselves to God. Number four, almost finished. So put it into practice. Verse 23 and 24, Joshua says, put it into practice. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you. Incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. You know, it does very little to say, you know what, I'm going to recommit my life to Jesus. But just hold on, I'm going to keep this little God here in my pocket. I'm going to put this one little area above God. And that's okay, right? That's not okay. Like the children of Israel, you know, all the things that God has done. You know what? Just put him first. Get rid of all those little gods. I tell you what, we as Christians, we can accumulate all kind of gods in our pocket, little g gods. And they rob us of our service to God. They rob us of our commitment to God. And you might leave here today and say, you know what, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to recommit my life. But don't ask me to give up that God. I'm telling you, it's not going to work. We got to get rid of those little gods out of our life. Whatever is distracting us in our service to the Lord, get rid of it. Only one life will soon be passed. Will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. He says, now, put into practice. The question I have for you, are there some little g gods that you need to put away from you? Last point, remember your recommitment. He says in verse 25 to 28, so Joshua made a covenant with the people that day. He made a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. He wrote these words in the book of the law of God. He took a great stone, set it under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard the words of the Lord, which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. And then he says, y'all go home. Go claim your inheritance. But you know what? We need to remember our commitment longer than what it takes to get in our car to leave our church on Sunday morning. We need to remember our commitment. We're a Christian after all, every day of the week, right? I'm kind of thankful about that, aren't you? I'm glad that I'm not a Christian on Monday and unsaved on Tuesday and a Christian on Wednesday. I'm thankful for that part. But if we're a child of God and God speaks to our heart and we respond, guess what? We ought to take that commitment with us. I think it would really scare preachers if we followed everybody around unbeknownst. You know, you hear the little expression, if I were just a fly on the wall. And I don't say that. And I'm not grouping everybody together and say, well, everybody's that way. I mean, I know we have some serious Christians in our church. I know that. But I also know that we have some that need to recommit their life to the Lord. And I also know that those that are even serious about the Lord, every once in a while need to say, Lord, I recommit myself to you. Because the devil's real, the world is real, and I feel drawn to serve other little g gods. But we need to take that commitment with us. Joshua wrote it down. Joshua put a great big stone up and said, when you see this stone, I want you to remember your commitment. Today, a time to recommit. I really believe that if America is going to be truly great again, our churches must be really great again. And you know what that means? That starts with you and that starts with me. We need to make sure that we're all that God wants us to be. We need to make sure that we're committed to the Lord. Do y'all remember when you were first saved and how enthused you were about Jesus? Remember how enthused you were about being a Christian? Do you know how enthused you were probably about coming to church? You know how enthused you might have been about reading your Bible or praying or telling people you got saved? What happened to that enthusement? What happened to that excitement? What happened to that commitment? I've come full circle. I said from the very beginning, guess what? God didn't move. We did. It's time for us as Christians, folks. Our church needs your commitment. I mean, we got ministries. We need your commitment to be there. We have services. We don't have services just to make your preacher feel good on Sunday night and he's got to preach somewhere, so let's have a service. No, we have a service for God's people. We need your commitment to God's house. We need your commitment to share the gospel. We need your commitment to read this book. We need your commitment to pray to the God of the universe that he'll send us revival. And when I say we need you, can I say that God needs you? A time to recommit. I have a question for you. Are you willing to recommit your heart and life to the Lord today? As individual, born again Christians, are you willing to recommit your heart to the Lord? You know, I hear of days where people used to come to the altar and they'd have tears running down their cheek and said, I just need to recommit my life to the Lord. I need to rededicate my life to the Lord. Kind of synonymous terms there. You don't see that much anymore. In fact, in some of our churches, you can't get anybody to come to the altar. God's changed, right? Is that right? God's changed. That's the reason. God's not changed. God's people have drifted far, far, far away from God in many cases. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. All I did was preach what I think God wanted me to preach this morning. So Amy's going to come to the piano. I don't think we're going to sing today. I think she's just going to play. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm asking you as an individual right now. I'm not asking you as a family. I'm not asking you as a unit, as a clique, as a church. I'm asking you as an individual. As an individual who will someday stand before God and give account of your life, are you fully committed to the Lord? Are you fully committed to the Lord? Or do you need a recommitment time? Do you need a recommitment time of your heart and your life to the Lord? Perhaps today you'd say, you know what? I've let the busyness of life rob me of my commitment to the Lord. I've let this little G God take the place of the one true God. And today God is speaking to my heart. God is speaking to my heart about recommitting my heart and life to the Lord. Again, you didn't lose your salvation if you were truly born again in the first place. But you lost your commitment. And you could be our most faithful person here at Oak Mound to the Lord. And God might be saying still, you know, you could be a little bit more committed. You need to recommit. I think it's a healthy, great thing, a healthy and wonderful thing every once in a while to recommit your heart and life to the Lord. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed,